You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, EL team. My name is Brittany, and my question is, are there certain characteristics about a person that makes strangers more likely to talk to them? There's a thing that has been plaguing me for years, that strangers like to talk to me, whether I want them to talk to me or not. So I would really, really like to know. Really appreciate it. Love the show. Bye.
Hello.
Hey, Brittany. It's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora.
So you're afflicted with RNF.
RNF? Is it like recognizable face?
Resting nice face.
Oh, no.
Brittany, lay out the problem for me.
Okay. On a regular basis, people tend to approach me or like ask questions or talk to me, but it happens so often. I just go to do a thing and then I end up in these conversations and I get stuck places for hours sometimes because I'm like just talking to people.
You've gotten stuck for hours in a conversation with a stranger?
There's times when I feel like I can't leave.
Where do these chat attacks happen the most?
It happens a lot at the grocery store and almost all the time at the bookstore. All the time. I've taken the book jackets off of my book so people will stop asking me about them. And I read outside, so I'm not like in the area where you would discuss books per se. I'm like just trying to have like a coffee and read. Yesterday, I went to buy a book, and then a woman started talking to me. I just turned, and we're in it. She sent me an email. I know that her mom had passed away and that the affairs were really easy because her mom is organized. Like, there's a lot.
That's a lot of detail.
Yeah. Is that like a first conversation thing that you drop normally? I don't know.
Okay, how can we help you today, Brittany?
All right. Well, I want to know why it happens. And then a part of me wants to know when I can turn it off. Like, I want to be able to say, maybe today's not the day. I want to be able to buy a rutabaga.
Without getting into a new best friendship.
Yes.
It sounds like you need to be able to harness this superpower and turn it off at will.
Yes, definitely.
You need to learn how to project, leave me alone, instead of make yourself at home.
Yes, you got it.
Don't bother me, lady, instead of show me pictures of your baby.
Oh, I love babies.
Do not disturb instead of I'm hanging on your every word.
Oh, man. Yeah. Can I just say okay and walk away? What can I do, Flora?
Okay, so step one of this journey, we have to understand why you are a stranger magnet.
Yeah.
We found someone who can sketch out an answer.
My name is Deanna Marsliese, and I am a character art director at Pixar Animation Studios.
Deanna has worked on Luca, The Incredibles, Toy Story 4, Inside Out, The Good Dinosaur, Soul.
Oh my gosh. She is like an amazing pedigree.
Yes. She is an expert in creating characters that draw people in, which is why we wanted to talk to her about you. And she says when it comes to appealing characters, it's all about the details. And she and her team spend a lot of time thinking about them.
Every detail is agonized over. I mean, every single thing from, okay, are we going to do eyelashes? Yes? No. What's the shape of the eyebrow? I mean, do we want to get a little sparse toward the end? Or, I mean, everything is talked about, everything. Like on Luca, the nails, the fingernails, we had multiple meetings about.
What was there to discuss?
Well, the anatomy of it, you know? So did we want to have that crescent moon at the top of the fingernail? Do we need that? The texture of the fingernail, do we want very realistic textures on that?
What happened with Luca's fingernails?
We did go with a little bit of a crescent moon to add a bit, you know, just a dash of like anatomy to anchor it, but not too much more than that.
So Deanna and her team convene countless Crescent conferences because every tiny detail, it all says something about who that character is and how we're supposed to feel about them.
Okay, yeah.
So we asked Deanna what tiny design choices she'd make to create a character like you. Someone who pulls people in, someone whose face screams, please tell me about your bunionectomy.
If the goal is to design a character that could be perceived as gentle or friendly, very approachable, then the designer might choose to incorporate a lot more soft and round shapes. So circles, ovals, curves. One character example that comes to mind is Mickey Mouse, who is composed entirely of circles upon circles.
Oh my God, I'm like geeking out.
What do you think?
Okay, so I have like a round face and like big round eyes. My brother calls it a moon face. He's like, you have a moon face. Like your face is like, you can't hide anything on it and you're very expressive. So it just looks open.
Yeah, maybe you are just perfectly proportioned for popularity.
Yeah.
Why do the round edges and the circles register as friendly?
Well, they're devoid of sharp. Right? No straights, no corners. So it's just softer. Think about any toys for a child. So it seems safe and, again, soft and gentle.
I am so happy. It's my round face that they like.
I mean, I think that's right, because compare that to the villains of the animation world.
Generally, you could say an aggressive design is usually used for a villain. So sharpness, pointiness, Cruella specifically is very sharp and skeletal. So you'll see a lot of sharpness through her shoulders and her jaw, prickly, like a cactus, right? Like you wouldn't want to touch it, you might get pricked.
Wow, I had never really thought of that. They're very angular. And I didn't realize, but I don't really feel like there's any angles to my face. Like, there's no edges or corners. If somebody is seeing me, then that could be something that they, like, immediately recognize, and I had no idea. I don't know. That's, like, strange to me, actually.
I mean, I think it's clear your big, bright eyes and open face are really f***ing you over.
I agree.
It's like a green light that says, yes, please do tell me about your cat's new litter box.
Listen, how many conversations I've gotten to about cats, they want to talk about the Cadillac of kitty litter boxes that they got from Amazon that they swear doesn't make their house stink. It's a whole thing.
Okay, so aside from facial reconstructive surgery to make you look more like Cruella, what can you do about your approachability problem?
Yeah.
We've got some tips guaranteed to stop any conversation short.
Okay.
After the break. Okay, Brittany, are you ready to learn how to be repulsive?
Okay, yes.
We found just the person to help make you absolutely repellent.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
Glenn Kinsey is a highly sought after presentation coach. He gives high profile people interview tips, red carpet guidance, advice on how to deal with fans.
Okay.
He says he's worked with almost 7,000 clients, including 5 presidents.
Wow.
He shared his secrets with influential artists.
People like U2, the rock band, biggest rock band in the world.
And also the second most biggest rocker in the world.
Jerry Halliwell, years ago.
She was like the Cardi Mom B of her day.
Oh.
Her best mates were named Scary, Sporty, Derpy, and Posh.
No.
Welcome to the Spice World.
If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends.
Okay, so Glenn typically charges more than $10,000 a day for his services.
Oh, God.
But, Brittany, He told us he's willing to take your case pro bono.
Yes.
In the name of love.
And after 30 years in the celebrity coaching business, Glenn is intimately familiar with what makes people unlikable. So he can help you to be less approachable, more repellent, you know, human stop sign.
Brittany, here are some tips for you.
Oh, I'm excited to hear.
Let's pretend you're in line at the Piggly Wiggly and a person behind you strikes up a conversation about the weather. Glenn says your first line of defense is a technique we have dubbed the third eye blind. Do you remember that?
Oh, I want something else to get me through this semi-charm kind of life, baby, baby.
Oh my God, you're so good at this.
Thank you.
Okay, here's how to do it.
When you're talking to someone, you look them right between the eyes. So not in the eyes, but right between the eyes.
Oh no!
And it almost looks very blank. So that freaks people out, but they don't quite know why. And that is very effective at unnerving people and getting them to stutter and not really quite know what to say and to move on.
That's insane. How do you so am I looking at their nose or just the bridge of their nose?
Right in the middle of the forehead. The third eye.
The third eye. That's so insane.
Okay, so if third eye blinding them doesn't work, Glenn suggests deploying a slightly more complicated method. It's based on the premise that when you're trying to draw someone in, you mimic them.
Mm.
How loud they talk, how fast they talk.
You just do it naturally. So if Brittany does the opposite in those situations, she will have the desired effect of making that person think, well, actually, this person's not someone I really want to be speaking to. It's not going anywhere.
Oh, okay. So if they're talking pretty quickly, I would maybe try and slow down.
Yes, mismatching. Exactly. Mismatch them. Do the opposite.
So, okay, so she's near someone who's like a quiet, soft-spoken person. She should really project and be like, hey, bud, something like that, like high energy.
Absolutely. I've just been speaking to you slowly and you've come back at me with that loud, hey, bud, I'm already wincing. So it's very, very effective.
Oh, that just, it seems like counterintuitive to a conversation. So, okay, yeah. I see why that would be completely unnerving. Yeah, I get that.
I think we'll call this practice the mismatch box 20.
Got you. I'm not crazy. I'm just a little unwell. I know right now you can't tell.
If your approacher isn't responding, no matter how loudly you talk at them while staring at their forehead, there is one more technique Glenn told us about.
Well, if we're talking about going to kind of gold level standard, this jiu-jitsu of language is really advanced stuff and very, very effective.
Oh.
We're about to introduce you to a technique you should only use in a desperate situation.
Okay, grocery stores, got it.
It's simply a way of saying one thing, but meaning another. And you can do it through inflections in words. For instance, say, for example, she's in the grocery aisle. She's trying to get her shopping done and someone approaches her. She could say something like, you might find as you're leaving that they have a special offer on apples this week. So the conscious mind takes in the statement, but the unconscious mind takes in the words you're leaving, particularly if that's done with emphasis.
Look at these kale leaves. Does that work?
I love it, Flora. Yes.
Okay, what about this? What about this? You're on a flight, a four-hour flight. Your seatmate looks at you excitedly and says, can't wait to tell you about this dream I had last night.
That is a nightmare, yes. She could say something like, I love flying and I love the excitement of travel. You get to switch off from the world and you can just sit and think.
Oh my God, that is incredible. I was like trying to think of like lines that I would use if I'm at the bookstore and I'm just like, yeah, I come here to read. And then I just forcefully open my book.
I love to get lost in a good book.
Oh, that's perfect.
What name would you give this technique?
Maybe the bye, bye, bye. I'm doing this tonight. You're probably going to start a fight. I know this can't be right. Yeah, baby, come on. Why did I choose a verse? I don't know.
Okay, Brittany, here's the thing. We know your force of attraction is very powerful. We understand that there may be situations where these techniques are just too subtle, that even the bye-bye-bye could fail you. So we've turned to nature to find a solution to your particular problem, the need to repel unwanted attention. And this technique is employed by a very special creature.
They really are the most approachable of all lizards of the Southwest.
This is herpetologist Dusty Rhodes, and he is talking about the cutest of all the scaly creatures, the Texas horned lizard, a.k.a.
Phrynosoma cornutum, and it literally breaks down into toad-bodied horned lizard.
Ooh, I love a toad body.
I'm going to send you a picture. And toad bodies will be taking over our Instagram at ELT Show.
Oh my God, it's so chunky. I love it.
Picture something about the size of a deck of cards, but roundish. They have a really, really short kind of chubby legs and, you know, sort of derpy eyes, big, you know, black, you know, shiny, glistening eyes. They're very endearing.
It's so cute.
Yeah. But like for you, horned lizards also attract unwanted attention, particularly from coyotes and hawks who want to eat them. And like most toad-bodied creatures, these guys can't run fast, so they've developed a unique way of getting passersby to leave them alone.
Do they scream?
No, think outside the box, really outside the box.
Okay.
Like the most off-putting thing you could think of.
Oh, God. What is it?
We're going to send you a video.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm watching it. Ah! What? Somehow it squeezes its eyes and blood shoots from them?
Yes, horned lizards can squirt blood out of their eyes.
That is like, that breaks the box.
It reminds me of a bath toy for a child, but a nightmare version.
Yes. Yes, yes, exactly. Maybe like a Tim Burton version of a bath toy.
How far can they shoot this blood?
Up to 6 feet, actually. And they can do it from both eyes.
Wow, 6 feet. I mean, it's pocket-sized. Like, that would be like if we shot blood out of our eyes 3 stories up.
Exactly. Yeah.
And is it shooting out, you know, like a superhero with like x-ray eyes where they just like look at their target and it's going that direction?
Yes. So they can aim. They can aim. The horned lizards will actually squirt blood very accurately directly into the mouths of predators like coyotes and foxes.
How does this deter predators from you? Because you bleed, right? I'm assuming that they do bleed when they're like captured and like eaten, right?
Yeah. See, that's a very interesting question because isn't that blood like gravy for them?
Yeah.
There's a chemical component. But the bottom line is the predators don't like it.
It tastes bad.
It tastes bad.
Mm. Okay.
Would you be interested in trying this tactic?
I mean, I don't want to shoot my own blood into the mouths of people. Because I think that could get me arrested, like, so fast.
What about a toned-down version?
Maybe, but what would the toned-down version be?
Well, we sent you a special surprise. Do you have our package?
I do. Oh, God. Okay, it's in bubble wrap. Oh, my God. vampire blood capsules. The title of it says vampire blood capsules in what is like a step above papyrus font. And then the tagline is for a bloody mouth surprise, which is what really gets me, because I'm like, yeah, for those times when you really need a bloody mouth surprise.
Which you need.
I need. From my eyes is too, it's like, that's way too aggressive, but.
But a dribble from the mouth?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I will try this.
You will?
Yeah.
Walk me through the scenario in which you might use them.
Okay. So I'm sitting at the bar at the bookstore. I've got my peppermint tea. I'm doing therapy homework. Obviously very busy. Somebody comes to speak with me. And I reach into my bag like I'm getting gum, and I pop a vampire blood capsule in my mouth, and I wait for the right moment, like right before they're going to tell me that like thing that's going to draw me in, like, oh, and then my dog died yesterday and I'm going to pop the blood capsule and just look at them and empathize with them and pretend like my mouth isn't bleeding. Until they tell me it is, and I can excuse myself to the bathroom for 20 minutes. Scene.
If you have a burning question you can't find an answer to, give us a ring. 833-RING-ELT. 833-RING-ELT.
This episode was produced by Jahi Whitehead, Adley Robinson, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Doug Barron, fact-checking by Amelia Schonbeck. Our editors are Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny. Music by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, Emma Munger, Billy Libby, and So Wiley. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. Ain't no lie, baby, bye, bye, bye. Goodbye.
You know, we considered a bunch of other artists.
Oh my gosh, who? Hit me.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Are they the I Only Want to Be With You?
Yep. Bing, ding, yep. Ding, ding, ding.
Thanks.
Okay, Nelly Furtado.
Oh my gosh, she is like great, but I'll do like her most iconic, which is I'm like bird, I want to fly away.
Eagle Eye Cherry.
Safe tonight. Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. Oh, there's that line, and then it's like, you and me and a bottle of wine. That's the best line. Eagle Eye Cherry, that is the best line in that entire song.
Counting Crows.
Oh, sha-la-la-la-la-la-la.
I'm sorry, I could do this all day long with you. I feel like you need the capsule for me right now. You know what I mean? Do some embedded command to make me stop.